another app for inventory, one for CRM. Oh, don't forget accounting. Wait, which login was that?
Or you could use Odoo, one fully integrated system that does it all without the hassle. Ditch the app overload. Get everything your business needs on one platform. Try Odoo free today at odoo.com. That's O-D-O-O.com.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We lowered prices and give you a 5-year price guarantee on talk, text, and data. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Welcome on back to Dana and Parks. Jonathan Weir sitting in today for Scott. Scott will be back Monday. I'm so happy to have you here.
I was arrested to the song.
You were arrested to this song?
Yeah. You had your own soundtrack?
Yeah.
Fun fact.
Yeah.
When were you arrested to this song?
It's a dumb story, but I had a bench warrant. Just light murder. It was no big deal. I'd run a stop sign, forgot to go to court. There was a bench warrant. Then, a few weeks later, I was speeding. This song was playing. I was just rocking out, not paying attention, speeding. Got pulled over. Cop, you know how, usually it takes him, 3 minutes to get out? I don't know what. This guy was in a hurry. He immediately gets out of the car.
Guns blazing.
Yeah, just goes, get out of the car. Get out of the car.
Okay.
I'm fumbling for the door. I'm about to get shot. And he's like, why is there a warrant out for your arrest? And I was like,
what?
Why? I don't know. Yeah, this is playing the whole time. He's like, all right, turn around, put your hands on the car.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm honestly, this is a mistake. Obviously, I didn't do anything wrong.
Am I being punked?
Yeah. And then another cop comes over and is like, oh, it's just a bench warrant. You ran a stop sign, forgot to go to court.
Why
is this guy giving me a panic attack?
When was this?
2002 or 3.
Oh, I would have had a heart attack and died right
20.
There.
Yeah.
Good cop, bad cop.
Yeah.
The people turned their heads and quickly looked away.
No, we have had people on this program call in. You knew you ran the stop sign.
Yeah.
Did you know you had to go to court for it?
I did. It was just a dumb thing. I was just an irresponsible 20-year-old kid and forgot about the court date.
We have had actual adult listeners. They just didn't know.
No.
They did get a speeding ticket, but they didn't know it was one for which you had to appeal. They just didn't know. And then they get pulled over for something else and all hell breaks loose. Same thing. And they legitimately have no idea what's going on.
Yeah.
But they probably didn't have a cool song playing in the background.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes the story.
That song is...
Although, had it been Clay Aiken, it would have been way better.
Why Clay? Oh.
I can't think of
a Clay Aiken song, but
it would have been funnier.
Yeah, it would have been. Or What a Wonderful World by Louis Armstrong.
Right.
Yeah.
Or you're belting out show tunes.
Yeah.
He's arresting you. You're like, I'm playing Clay Aiken. How bad can I be?
Yeah. Well, that's why we're arresting you, sir. In this little town.
We have a story in our stack. You used to live in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. Are you from there or just used to live there?
Nope, I'm from there.
Okay. Yep. I'm curious if you know about this story. It is one of the best documentaries I have ever seen. It's in my top five, and I love documentaries. It's in my top five. The documentary is called Atomic Homefront. It is about the nuclear waste that is prevalent in a couple of spots in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. And it's so bad that it's not just one of your neighbors has cancer. It's all 50 of your neighbors.
Yeah, there's an apartment
have cancer.
Complex, right?
Oh,
it's more than that.
All of these homes along a creek.
Coldwater Creek.
Coldwater Creek, that's what
creek.
It was, yeah.
Do we have the trailer we can play?
Can people hide?
No, honey, I don't really want you to do that.
If it wasn't for the smell of the landfill, No one would have known about the radioactivity.
Jeez. It does not belong in a residential, populated, suburban area in the state that it is in right now. Let's fix it.
If I build my home on nuclear weapons waste, what happens to my kids 30 years later?
Just right here in this street, there is a lot of people who have passed away from cancer.
My message to other moms who find themselves in a similar situation, you have to be your own superhero.
Okay, stop there, Sam. It's called Atomic Homefront. I have been screaming about this story since the documentary aired in 2017.
Yeah.
And this is how it started. A guy who graduated high school at this area near Coldwater Creek in St. Louis.
So it's Blackjack Florissant. Yep. Flow Valley, yep. it was a college there.
Yep.
Ferguson.
He started thinking we should have a class reunion. Like, yep. It's coming up on 20 years, let's have a class reunion. God. So he pulls out his yearbook, he goes onto Facebook, and he starts looking for his classmates.
Yeah.
And he's got a yearbook, John, with a Sharpie. There are X's over all of the faces of all of his classmates, and they have all died of cancer, but it's all over the place, and it's weird. It's like bladder cancer. Yeah. It's like neuroblastomas. It's not, some of them were like breast cancers. You would expect
some. But not the common ones.
But not right. Just crazy cancers, right? So he's like, what in the Sam Hill is going on? There's like 30 of my classmates are dead. That's how Atomic Homefront starts. 2017 was that documentary. Listen to this story from CBS News right now. Nuclear waste has haunted Coldwater Creek for decades, but the cleanup is far from over. Let me just tell you now how that cleanup goes. It's never over.
Yeah.
It's in the ground.
No,
it's in the water.
It's, what is the half-life? 20,000 yep. years? Come on.
Just 15 miles away from St. Louis's Arch, nuclear waste was stored for decades. Coldwater Creek ran right by the storage site, and Linda Maurice lived near that waterway for years. She says it was all top secret. There was a deposit site where the process waste of the Manhattan Project had been stored.
Wow.
They dumped it in the open. And there's photos of back during the war, John. All of the people in St. Louis were so excited because the government said, we chose you to have this atomic dump site, and it's going to create jobs because we need people to get rid of the yellow cake
uranium.
So guess what? People without even gloves on were like, hey, let's dive into the Yellow Creek uranium. So all those people died of cancer immediately. What they didn't tell people was that when developers started coming in for the tract housing after, you know, World War II, Vietnam, like that era, we probably shouldn't build houses here. Like no one yeah. said, this is a bad idea.
It's a Superfund site, but the idea of a Superfund site hadn't been created yet.
They're like, hey, let's do this. It'll bring so many jobs here. So what the documentary goes through is basically everyone has cancer. The dogs that run in the creek and that, you know, have horrible deformities, John, like mm-hmm. women are infertile. They've all had to have hysterectomies.
It's like Chernobyl with like the deer with glowing eyes and
it's
stuff.
It's Chernobyl, but yeah. it's in St. Louis, 15 minutes from
wow.
the Arch. What I do not understand is how they continue to sell homes. Go on Zillow right now and look up whatever that city is called.
Blackjack.
I mean, I know it's no, just look up on Zillow. Look up a house in near Coldwater Creek. You can still buy these homes. And so the people that are saying now, we had no idea this was a nuclear waste site. Why would they continue to allow the reselling of those homes? They need to buy all of the homeowners out. And
because they could live there cheaply and they would rather turn.
But Sam, it's criminal that you can go on Zillow right now and buy one of those houses. It's literally.
And they're actually kind of, they're $300,000 for.
It should be a crime yeah. that you can buy one of those houses. Because someone is going to see that, like maybe moving in town from Iowa. And they're like, well, look, the schools are good here. There's this babbling brook right behind our house. That's beautiful.
It's so cheap.
You're going to be dead in 10 years, dude.
By the way, yellow cake uranium, which is the isotope uranium-238, takes millions of years.
Yeah.
Millions of years.
So what? There's also, it's kind of a double whammy just looking at the area and knowing it pretty well, because I actually went to college across the river
yeah.
there, Godfrey's across
That's
the river
why you're
from
glowing.
Thank you. If you turn off the lights, I just thought it was a nice side effect of I don't know, anxiety, I'm having a panic attack right now. There's a South Roxana has an oil refinery right there.
Yeah.
So it's literally across. There's a Superfund site across the river from an oil refinery. And I know that South Roxana has like some of the highest birth defect rates.
Yes.
I had a friend who lived there, and I went to pick him up on the way to school one time. And it was raining, and I was like, had my wipers on. I was like, what the hell's going on? Like, the
was
wipers,
it blue?
It was smearing it because it was oil. Yeah. It was raining oil on my car from, I don't know where, it was oil cloud.
Listen to this.
And then across the river, you have a Superfund site.
In 1989, 43 years after the waste was first dumped there, 1989, the EPA came out and said, this is a hazardous biohazard waste dump. It is, quote, dangerously contaminated, and they ordered the government to clean it up.
Yeah.
By that time, more than 60,000 people lived within 1 mile of that creek. You can't ever clean it up.
No.
It's in the water. It's in the creek. It's probably in the...
There's a golf club right there.
John.
The Florissant Golf Club is right there.
Four.
If I...
No, five, actually, here.
I'll tell you, if I had not seen Atomic Homefront, I wouldn't have believed it.
Yeah.
There's two or three of these sites around the country. St. Louis is the worst. They took in one of those... Beep, 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 beep. They took in one
Geiger
of those
counters.
Things. Yeah, one of those like... Yeah. They took one of those in all these houses, and it just redlines when you walk in the house. There's one scene where a woman is gardening, and she's like, well, if this don't kill me, something else will. She's digging her hands in the soil. And the guy's like, ma'am, like, she's like,
don't.
I've lived here 30 years. I was barren. I was never able to have children. Like, I'm not moving. But why are they still selling the houses?
We have a Superfund site in North Kansas City.
Is there one up in North KC?
Mm-hmm.
Are there houses on it?
That's right off Armor Road, so that's a densely populated area.
Jeez Louise.
Listen to this. The Army Corps of Engineers has been in charge of, quote, the cleanup, which will never happen within millions of years because that's what yellow cake uranium does. They are saying their best estimate that the cleanup, early on, they said their best estimate was 8 years to finish the cleanup. Now their best estimate is 2038. Try 2,000,038.
Wow.
Like, I don't even know what the topic is. The phones are already ringing. What do you do? And does the government even have the money to buy out 60,000 people
houses
from their homes?
I mean,
and then, like, maybe you just pave over it with concrete and you say nothing can live here.
By the way, the site in North Kansas City, the issue was arsenic in the water.
The crazy thing about that area, too, that's North St. Louis, which is probably, and, you know, East St. Louis is the more notorious area, the worst area of St. Louis by far is North St. Louis. East St. Louis doesn't have anybody left in it. It's all abandoned. But North St. Louis is awful. And this is like a suburb that's just a little bit beyond North St. Louis. So these people have like nowhere to go too. Like it's vacant and barren and awful and crime ridden. And
try to sell your house if anyone
Jeez.
Is paying attention to the news.
Yeah.
One of the people in charge of the science end of things says St. Louis residents are being chronically exposed to this every day of their lives.
Explains a lot.
Including the schools.
Mm.
I don't, phones ringing, we'll take calls when we get back. I don't know what you do other than we have to buy them out and stop selling the houses.
Yeah. But how far of an area do you say, like, do you just say that specific area near the creek or do you just go, okay.
I wouldn't want to live within a mile of it.
Yeah.
913.
And what about across the river?
586-7798. Do not drink the water.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe, without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything, to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you, from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
At MLBShop.com, you can get all the latest officially licensed merchandise for you and your family. But if you really want to level up your game, You can grab something for your dog walker, your Pilates instructor, your swim coach, your neighbor, your accountant, your gardener, your best friend, your bandmate, your boss, your kid's teacher, your mailman. Visit MLBShop.com and stock up on officially licensed on-field merchandise from your favorite teams.
Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Every morning brings a fresh new energy.
This is Today.
And no matter what the day holds, we come to the Today Show for all of it.
When things are tough, we talk about it. When there's something to figure out, we dig into it. And when there's joy, we celebrate it.
Because today is where it's all happening. We get the best start to every morning because we start it together.
Watch the Today Show with Savannah Guthrie and Craig Melvin weekdays at 7 a.m. on NBC.
Starting in 1942, roughly 1 ton of pure uranium was produced every day in downtown St. Louis. It was then shipped to labs across the country for the Manhattan Project. All of the leftover waste was dumped around the city.
One of those research facilities, by the way, right here on 95th and Truce.
Really? Wow. 82 different spots throughout St. Louis.
You know,
it spilled, children played in it. There was just
I was mentioning to you during the break, the Chernobyl HBO miniseries.
Yep.
Those people took that more seriously than our government took the Superfund stuff.
We were talking about this off the air, Sam. Do I think in the 1940s there was the knowledge that we're going to bury yellowcake uranium here and generations of people are going to die from very bizarre aggressive cancers? No, I don't think in the 40s.
Why can't they move it now? Would it disrupt too much stuff for them to remove it?
How? They get into this in the documentary. You can put it on rail cars.
Yeah.
I mean, moving it would cost lives.
So
the only solution
is to move away from it.
Is you mow down all of those houses, you pay everyone out, and it would be billions.
Yeah.
I don't know, millions, billion. You have to pay everyone out and get them out of there. You'd have to close the schools.
I mean,
I'm sure they knew that there was some toxicity to this stuff. They were literally using it to build the deadliest weapon that mankind has ever seen.
So there is a thing, though, where, and, you know, I don't think they get into it in Oppenheimer as much, but they didn't know how bad the fallout from the radiation was going to be. Like, they knew they could create, like, a massive explosion. They didn't know that the secondary property to that was going to be the radiation. That's why they used uranium for the first one. And then they started to be like, well, what if we use helium?
Let's go there.
Let's try a bunch of different stuff. See what happens. Yeah.
Let's go to A.A. Ron, because I think I remember this, too, from the documentary. Go ahead.
Hey, so there's lots of Superfund cleanup sites all over Missouri. Big ones, little ones, gas stations are Superfund cleanup sites.
Yep.
You know, they're all over Missouri. The 95th and Troost was the old Bendix plant, and then Honeywell, and yada, yada, yada. So another documentary you should watch is about orphan wells, and it's amazing, the orphan gas wells. So in St. Louis, not only is there a nuclear landfill, it's also on fire, and there's smoldering fire headed towards that landfill, and that makes it 10 times worse. And there's a likelihood is high that it eventually will reach that nuclear waste.
Well, Aaron, I think I remember this from the documentary. Again, it's been a couple of years since I've seen it, but one of the reasons the Army Corps of Engineers was sent in there was to make sure, like sort of like you would manage a trash heap, to make sure that the heat does not get to the point underground that thing blows and wipes Missouri off the map.
So another thing you can look at is Pryor, Oklahoma. That was a Superfund cleanup site, and I don't remember what the issue was there. I want to say it was zinc or something like that.
But did they evacuate everyone there?
The entire town is gone. Yep. There's only like one or two houses left there, and it is a barren wasteland. So it can be done. It just cost a lot of money.
So, Aaron, thank you for the call. One of the reasons this is back in the news is that CBS News has done a two-part series on this. And now everyone's picking it up and going, did you know there's a Superfund site in St. Louis? Yes! Go back and watch Atomic Wasteland. If somebody told me that this was going on, I wouldn't have believed it.
The subsurface smoldering is not something that was happening 20 years ago. It's happening right now.
Yeah.
These threats are coming, or warnings are coming out of the EPA right now. As recently as January, there was a deep dive story on it in the Missouri Independent.
I'm just looking at the Westlake Landfill Superfund site. That's what we're talking
about. The creek
is
19 miles.
Yeah. And there's businesses near this thing. Like there, you look up Westlake Landfill Superfund site. Right next to it is Vander Hogs Incorporated Used Commercial Truck Trailers and Craftco Incorporated Supply Centers and.
You would literally have
collision
to
collision centers of St. Louis.
And you know this more than I do. You grew up there. How big is that area that if they were going to shut it down, let's say you do a 5 mile radius, it's
huge.
Tens of or hundreds of thousands of people.
Yeah.
Then where do they go?
Now that's not the most densely populated area. Like I said earlier, that's just beyond North St. Louis, which is almost completely vacant and awful. But then that area, there's definitely people there, but it's, I guess more of an exoburb almost. It's in a weird kind of band. But I mean, tens of thousands of people is about accurate.
In the first of two reports, CBS Evening News focused on a woman named Linda Morsey, a North St. Louis County resident whose family has basically been wiped out by cancer. They moved there in 1957, unaware of the dangers lurking in their backyard. Over the years, she lost her mother, father, and brother to cancer, all believed to be tied to Coldwater Creek. Her husband now has cancer.
It really does. It's one of those things where, you know, you want to believe that people in the government have the best intentions. And, you know, maybe in the 40s, they didn't know what they were doing.
And
it was just a mistake. But then why aren't you doing something about it now? Whether that's moving everyone out of there or it's, you know, and moving whoever wants to move. Obviously, we're not going to force you out if you want to stay there.
There are going to be a few people. Like in Chernobyl, there's like the nine great-grandmothers that still live there. There's probably going to be a few people that say, forget it. I'm just going to stay.
The guy who refused to leave Mount St. Helens when he was Harry. The guy's name was Harry Truman. It wasn't obviously Harry Truman, but his name was Harry Truman. He refused to leave.
You'll get my mountain when I'm dead.
I ain't afraid of no mountain. I lived here my whole life.
We're back with much more Straight Ahead. Stick with us. Bud out of Kansas City. Go ahead.
Hey, Bud.
Dana, I love you. You're my favorite cuckoo. Jonathan, it's always great to hear from you.
Thanks, Bud.
I just have a feeling that we're going to be talking about this again in 20, 30 years. It was just in the last couple months after the wildfires in California. What did we do? We issued an executive order for the EPA to go in and do something that they couldn't do. And you moved a bunch of these batteries and lithium and all that into these storage containers, and people had a fit, and I don't blame them.
I forgot about that.
Because the decisions we make today can and do affect generations that come after us, and that's exactly what we're seeing east of here.
The unintended consequences.
The other thing I would ask, Bud, is like, shouldn't there have been some sort of concerted, massive ad campaign? Like, we do ad campaigns when it came out that children or teenagers vaping, you know, the Fruit Loops vape that had formaldehyde in it. My God, everyone went nuts. We're going to ban that. Yet there was no concerted effort to tell anyone in St. Louis, hey, by the way, in the 1940s, the home you're looking at here, it does have three bedrooms and three bathrooms. And also everyone in your family is going to die of cancer.
Right. Did you drink the water at Camp Lejeune?
Why would you? Right. There's another one. Yeah. I don't think I drank the water, but damn, that ad made me like, was I ever at Camp Lejeune?
Great thing about this house, it started off with just two beds and baths, and then it just grew.
Yeah.
A third one. it's not a good bathroom. It's lumpy. It's
everything
weird.
Glows.
But you save so much on electricity.
Like, why are we not telling anyone 20 years ago, 10 years ago, and right now on Zillow, look at the prices of some of those homes. Somewhere right now, someone from Iowa or Oregon is moving to St. Louis, and they think, that's a nice little house. Why are we letting people buy these houses?
Wait, people are moving to St. Louis?
Yes. I know, Sam.
I mean, we need to put a warning out about that.
I did just literally on the St. Louis subreddit, I saw somebody like, what's the best thing about St. Louis? It's like the cheap housing. And I immediately was like, yeah, especially the ones around the nuclear waste dumps.
I hope you have great health care.
Yeah, and the lead shield. Actually, those houses need to have the lead brought back into the paint.
Yeah, lead shield.
It's crazy, too, because my entire family's from St. Louis. All of them.
How close to this place?
Not that close. Fortunately, they're on the other side of the river and about 30 minutes away from this.
Okay.
But close enough. And this is the first time hearing of it, though. My best friend lives in South St. Louis, which is still not that is closer to this.
Would it be like Lee's Summit versus Overland Park?
Yes, it would be where my family's at. Okay, so if this Superfund was where we're at right now,
okay,
in Mission, then I would say my family lives in Tiffany Springs.
Okay,
yeah, like by the airport.
That's a very oddly specific town that you chose.
What?
Tiffany Springs. I was like, you could have said North Kansas.
There's
City.
A reason for it, but I'm not going to get into it.
You could have said Liberty.
Yeah.
Didn't you say the airport?
Tiffany Springs.
You know that one up there by the airport.
Odd. If we were in Westwood Hills, mm-hmm. population 110.
North Kansas City. Is
there
that better?
We go.
yes, text line. Thank you. It is super fun.
I know. I was thinking
there
that.
There's nothing fun about
when
it.
When the caller was saying yeah. super
it's like
fun.
Happy fun like, ball. That's super fun.
Do not taunt.
Not taunt. Happy fun ball.
Happy
it
fun
scares ball. Me mm. that I can finish your SNL sentences. It really does. No yeah. one else. I have said so many times, do not taunt, happy fun ball. And I get the weirdest looks. Mm. And here's where you're going, do not taunt, happy fun
it's
ball.
The funniest commercial I think they ever did. That was the funniest.
It's one of them.
Yeah.
The toilet.
That's true.
Come on.
Or oops, I crap my pants. Yes. Yeah.
How
and
I
just did.
Because I just did.
That was a lot of dung.
Okay.
Now imagine this. It's a gallon,
it's a gallon of your feces. All right. We have a woman filing a federal lawsuit. I always kind of like these stories. I feel bad for her, but I like these stories because we all have an opinion on what proper attire in a variety of situations should or should not look like, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like the selfies in front of the Pope. Not a good look.
Yeah.
A Baton Rouge woman is suing an area restaurant after she was refused service and reportedly told that her attire violated the upscale venue's dress code. Look this up. I want you to see the outfit, and then you tell me what you think. A federal lawsuit filed on behalf of Yamine McClanahan says she was, quote, utterly humiliated when she was turned away from having lunch at Stab's Prime Steakhouse in Baton Rouge.
I know.
The
I don't
outfit,
think it's that bad.
The outfit McClanahan was wearing was a floral crop top dress.
Yeah.
She previously told reporters that she wore the same outfit to the restaurant's location in central Louisiana 2 weeks prior. The lawsuit includes photos allegedly taken from Stab's social media showing the outfits that other women wear inside the restaurant, including workers who are seen in fishnet tights and tank tops. Attorneys for McClanahan argue that Stab's selectively applies the dress code for whatever reason to different people. I don't know if it's race. I don't know if it's
age.
Well,
she's a black woman.
Because,
but yeah.
Because I will say this, you know, the attire that sometimes you see on a college campus, and this is not about race, would not be attire appropriate for a woman of 50 years. Mm-hmm. It just isn't.
Now, to be fair, I don't think it's that bad, but it is basically just a bra halter top type top.
But she's wearing
with a long dress.
I guess, but it's also Louisiana. I mean, yeah. I lower what you said is exactly right. I'm going to lower my standards based on it being Louisiana and everything I know about that state. Like that's
I would not have called this like a crop top because the bottom of the halter piece almost touches the skirt.
Okay.
Like, you know, I bring up college again because I'm there all the time because my kids are there.
Mm-hmm.
You see just sports bra and booty shorts constantly. That's what the girls wear when they're out walking around or doing whatever, or shopping. That same outfit on a woman my age that's had 4 children would probably ask me to leave the restaurant, as they should.
Yeah.
And let's be honest, they're also discriminating based on size.
This is a floral. It looks like an Easter dress. It is floral. She is a curvy woman.
Yeah,
she is curvy. We see it all the time, especially with people who get kicked off of airplanes. You're talking about the bra and the tight shorts. The fitness model who looks like she was chiseled by the gods never gets stopped.
Right.
The lady who happens to be
she's
curvy
not
wearing the same
it.
Outfit
they
gets
don't, they're not worried about her coming out of something.
I don't want to see a man's gut either on
yeah.
an airplane.
No. I'm very laissez-faire when it comes to whatever you want to wear on an airplane. If you want to wear pajamas, I'm fine with that. And the reason why is because we have to take off our shoes to right. get through security now. Right. So we should dress like trash. They're treating us like trash. I don't agree with the restaurant kicking her. I don't think what she wore was that bad. I will say though that when I was doing country radio in Boston, mm-hmm. I had to go to concerts a lot.
Okay.
And Katie and Finn and I went to a concert. It was a Zac Brown Band.
Yeah.
Katie's the only, I think, artist that we played that she and I actually liked. And we went to his concert at Fenway, and we're walking down Lansdowne Street, and it is nothing but girls in tiny, like dental floss, basically, yep. over their nips, and Daisy Dukes cut
yep.
up
yep.
all the way up, and just to where the pockets are showing out.
Right.
And Katie's like covering Finn's eyes
right.
as we're walking down Lansdowne Street to Fenway. And she looks at me, she's like, "Is this your audience?" And I was like, "Sweetie, these people don't listen to radio." Yeah. No, they've never heard of me. Yeah. They don't know what that is. But I guess they
don't know who President Clinton is.
Right.
Who?
I was born during the Obama administration.
Right. Right.
But it was the fact that it was out and open in public. Like, I think there should be just some standards. Like, I don't think it should be universal. I guess my thing is mostly, I don't care about pajama pants. Too skimpy is a problem.
My issue on an airplane is that if you are spilling out and over and you are seated next to
me,
you can now touch me and I don't want you touching me, yeah. male or female.
Have you ever felt discriminated against based on your attire? Have you ever felt out of place due to it?
Oh, my entire childhood. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I wanted a pair of Guess jeans so bad, and we were a Lee jeans kind of family. Not Levi. Those were highfalutin. Lee.
I still wear Lee
jeans. Lee jeans. I see you're St. Louis, and I raise you North Topeka.
Yeah. No, it's around.
So, yeah, growing up, I think I was self-conscious about it. I'm yeah. not anymore, because I really, if we're going to a fancier place, like, I don't think, I am not comfortable with confrontation or conflict of any kind. So I will overdress sometimes because I don't want to walk into a nice restaurant with a ball cap on and then be told, "Could you please remove your cap?"
Right.
Because I would just freak out.
Well, and do we have those standards anymore? I mean, it used to be
yes.
if you were going to a nicer
Depending
restaurant,
on where you're
you
going.
Had to wear slacks, you had to wear a sport coat. I mean, yes. you couldn't walk in dressed like Scott Parks and expect to get a table.
I love this. At Jasper's, I love this. They will ask you to remove your hat.
Well, yeah.
And I think they should.
Yeah.
I think they should. We it's okay to bring back some decorum.
But here's the other thing too, though. And I've had jobs where I had to dress up or I had to look nice.
Yeah.
A dress shirt, khakis, dress shoes, have a haircut, and be presentable. And then I worked in radio for 15 years and just let myself go. Like, especially mornings. I was like, "You're lucky I showered."
Decorum.
You think I have time?
Out when the window.
When I found out that dry shampoo was a thing, I was like, "Oh,
it's over.
I'm going to save 5 minutes in the morning.
It's over.
Yeah, it's over. I don't need to shower anymore." You feel better about yourself when you dress up. Like, you do.
Yeah.
And I think that people who dress kind of trashy, to an extent, aren't feeling good about themselves, because it doesn't cost that much. My grandma used yeah. to say, she used to say, soap and water's cheap. Like, it doesn't take much to clean up.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to spend that much money. You can go to Walmart or Target and
get a nice
decent
t-shirt
outfit.
Even a nice t-shirt.
A t-shirt or polo and some khakis for like $30.
Yeah.
You know, and that's a nice outfit that you have.
I don't want to know if you have an innie or an outie on an airplane or in a restaurant.
Yeah.
913-586-7798. We're back with much more straight ahead. So, kind of a fun thing that I got to see last night, sort of happened last night. I hate going to the grocery store. And so every once in a while, I'm like, nope, not feeling it. I Instacart. I think Instacart's the greatest thing that's ever happened. I don't care how firm my melons are. Just get me an apple and some celery and
Whoa,
this
that took a turn.
Brand of whatever.
Say, like, that's I'm talking just, about firm melons.
Between you and your mammograms.
I'm not a choosy produce kind of gal. I'm just like, bring me what I need on this list. I'm good.
Yeah.
Replace it with anything you need. And the young man gets out of his car, and I'm coming down to help him because I had some cat litter. It's heavy. And he gets out and he says, "Hi, ma'am." He's probably, I don't know if I had to guess, 20. And I said, "Oh my gosh, hi, let me help you." And then a second person gets out of the car dressed in the same shirt. And my first thought was, what are they wearing, uniforms now? Mm-hmm. They're like in a minivan. And I turn around and they're both now walking toward me and they're the same person. And I go, "Oh my God, are you guys are identical twins."
Mm-hmm.
And one of them says, "There's actually three of us. We're triplets."
Oh, my God.
And another one gets out of the car. It's like a clown car of people dressed in the same outfit delivering my groceries. I want you to look this up, Sam, because you know I don't do research. How rare is it to have three identical twins?
One in 8,000.
No.
I just saw a thing on it. I don't know.
What do you mean you just saw a thing on it?
I just saw a thing like the other day and I remember it.
One in 8,000 to have identical.
No.
No? What is it?
Identical triplets. One in 60,000.
One in six. Oh, maybe it's just triplets is 8,000.
Ranging up to one in 200 million.
Well, that's a wide. That's like very wide. We're range. Saying Tiffany Springs to Mission. Which is it? So I came upstairs and we were getting all the groceries unloaded. And I said to Johnny, I go, "I'm going to tip them extra." There were three of them. They were all dressed alike.
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, "That's why we're tipping extra." And I go, "Yes."
Yeah.
You know that's why they wear the same outfit is all so right. They get the extra tip.
Right.
I don't care. I'm here for it.
Okay, you recommended several documentaries to me over the last, like, 30 minutes.
Yeah.
I'll recommend one to you. I don't know if you might have seen it. Triplets. Have you ever seen it?
No.
So it's fascinating. It is about these three guys who are triplets.
Usually they come in threes.
Right. Sorry, yeah, good point. I feel like I'm getting picked on.
Welcome back!
Tiffany Springs earlier. I was like, okay, I'm going to be
so
specific.
So there's these five triplets.
Anyway! I was emphasizing that they were guys. They're triplets. They're three guys, okay? And they, at birth, were separated. Their mom couldn't provide for them,
right.
And they were adopted. And for whatever reason, they were adopted by three different families. But the crazy thing is how much they still had in common. So they were all married to similar looking women.
Okay.
They all started smoking around the same age. There was like all these other crazy, weird...
Question.
Yeah.
Was this the documentary, because it sounds similar, where they did not know about the existence of the other, that they were broken up into three different families?
Yeah, yeah, exactly that one, yeah. They didn't know about it until like they were in their 20s.
Someone in high school or something said, I went to high school with a kid. It was college.
Yeah. And they go off to college. They're at the junior college. And this random guy runs up to one of the triplets and says, "Oh my God, Eddie, what are you doing here?" And
he's like, "What are you talking about?
I'm not Eddie." And they were all, it was actually part of an experiment. The three identical strangers goes into the experiment.
That's it. Three identical strangers.
That's what it was. It was an experiment?
It was an experiment. The nursing home was trying to nature versus nurture.
They split them up.
They intentionally put one boy in a affluent household.
It's sort of dark, John.
One boy in a household that, you know, had an alcoholic father.
When you say nursing home, you mean orphanage?
Did I say nursing home?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Tiffany Springs.
It's a very rare nursing home for triplets from Tiffany Springs.
It's a baby nursing home. It's the most depressing
place
ever.
Come in fives. It's so weird.
It's for geriatric babies.
Anyway, three identical strangers. Great film.
They all look alike. No one knows their name.
Very sad ending. They all die.
If you stick around for this very next segment that we are both so excited for, you will be enlightened. By the first time, I believe, in the station history that we have had a cowboy poet on the air. He really is a cowboy, too. Like the hat, the whole nine yards. Straight ahead on Dana and Parks. Stick with us for that.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.